As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate are you? You call on such lost creatures to defend you.
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea. Bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more. Like the battles that we never could.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken. I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Bruffett. How are we doing today, Chris?
Jesse, I am tired and I am fired up. Tired and fired, baby.
I echo that sentiment. I got in super late in the morning today. I'm thinking I'm time traveling here, and we're at it. We got the first moment to record, and we're sitting down to record, which is very exciting. We're hoping to get this out to you guys pretty quick because we want our live takes on our experience at Adepticon 2024. We'll be experienced for all the games we play and the community members we met and just the overall feel of the con. And then, of course, the meat of today's episode, all the reveals from Marvel Crisis Protocol.
Oh my gosh.
So excited.
It was so juicy. We got some good stuff. We got something that literally knocked me to my knees in the reveal hall. Can't wait to get there. But yeah, you know, just right off the bat, not getting into it all the way. That's for later, but Adepticon was awesome. I had an amazing time. I met so many awesome people. Truly great conversations, great hangs, great games. I am endeavoring not to miss another one for a long time.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly why we do this, to meet you guys, to hopefully build the community with our content and just our enjoyment of Marvel and this game. And I think Adepticon is a prime example of why we do what we do. And meeting you guys out there was, frankly, quite humbling and amazing because so many of you came up to us and just grabbed us and was like talking to us about the show or maybe some Marvel lore or some gameplay stuff.
Basketball
in Chris's case. And this episode goes out to everyone that went to Adepticon and, of course, everyone that couldn't go to Adepticon. We're going to do our very best to just reminisce and describe everything we experienced. And hopefully you can enjoy, despite not being able to be there, and kind of experience some of it while you're listening right now.
Couldn't say it better myself. But first, we have some stuff we got to get into real quick before we can really get to where we need to be. Fury's Finest is supported by Mr. Laser. Go to mr-laser.square.site for all of your Marvel Crisis Protocol needs. And do not forget, at checkout, please use our discount code FURY5, capital F-U-R-Y-5, no space. Get a sweet, cool 5% off. Helps us, helps you. Please do it.
Absolutely. And just use that code FURY5 either from your phone or from your computer. And it's a great time to do it because Mr. Laser will have these pre-orders up in the coming months for these releases that we now have a roadmap of, and they will all be up on his website. So grab them before he runs out. Of course, iWarGame makes the best Mark Master MCP in the business, and they directly support us here at Fury's Finest as a affiliate, and we would love you checking them out at iWarGame.net. And you can use our code FFPODCAST to get 10% off all of your Marked Mat orders.
Love those mats.
Love them so much. We could not live without them. And of course, our show functions and we get to do things like Adepticon because of you guys listening and the patrons that support us at patreon.com/furiesfinest. If you enjoy our show, brings value to your life, and you'd like to support our community and join our private community, check out the Patreon tiers. We take this time to thank all of our patrons for their support. We have a new patron of the week, Dale W. Thank you so much, Dale.
Thank you, Dale. And of course, we have to thank our Avenger level producer, the man that keeps this thing going, Sean. Thank you so much, man. We truly, truly appreciate you right now. And I've got something else, guys, not normal for us, but we're going to shout out an upcoming event called Squad Goals. It's going to be held in Niles, Illinois. I mean, Chicago. at Pastime Comics and Games. It's going to be a three-player team event following the timeline rules. Each player is going to pilot one of those three teams, and you're going to go up against other teams. All the rules can be found at squadgoalsmcp.com. You can email squadgoalsmcp@gmail.com if you have any questions. The cap is 32 teams of three players. If you have any questions, please reach out to them or Vincent Kirkov. I'm sure he's got plenty of talk about squad goals on his YouTube channel, Vincent Kirkov.
Vince runs really great events.
And great content too.
Well, great content, of course. And I would highly recommend checking this out. I mean, a 96 player event is insane, Chris, just in general for our game. And
such a fun format. You don't have to beat up your friends here. You get to play with them. It's, you know, very cool. Awesome. Limited timeline lists, which I know many are just not into, but those of us that are, and those that participated this week at Adepticon, spoiler alert, but most participants, I think, had a very good time. I think the format went over pretty well. More on that later, and more on that on other podcasts as well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Chris, we got into our main content today, which is the Adepticon reveals, cards, and some of our tournament performance as well, which we'll pick up after these card reveals. But the bulk of today's episode is going to be talking about essentially the next year and a half of the game.
100%. We have a lot to get through here. Some very exciting things. You know, we're going to start by reading some of these card reveals. Like Jesse said, we'll get into some of the exciting reveals that we just saw sculpts for. You know, from there, we'll see how much time we've got to talk about Adepticon. We'll go in more detail on the After Dark feed for sure.
Absolutely. So, Chris, let's set the stage. Last day of Adepticon, Sunday, is a lighter day. It's essentially I'm not going to quite say a half day. It's a little bit more than a half day. It's like a two-thirds day. But in that two-thirds day that is the final day of Adepticon, AMG has chosen that to be their panel day, where they do the panel of all the upcoming releases for their miniatures games. Specifically this year, it was a focus on MCP, Star Wars Legion, and Star Wars Shatterpoint. And I cannot be at the panel because I was in a tournament, which is unfortunate. And we'll talk about that later. But Chris, you got to go to the panel and be there on the ground floor and tell us about that.
That's right. I was third row, thanks to my MCP teammate for the weekend, Ronin Around, Matt Pettit. Big shout out to Matt, being an awesome teammate. He showed out well and super well in the timeline event. Super proud of the guy. Very exciting to have got to hang out with him this weekend. It was awesome. So once again, big shouts to Matt. Big thank yous to Matt. You rock, man. And he saved me a seat at this way close. So I was right there for the good and the one bad, which we will not get into here. You can message me about it. The first reveal here is Scarlet Spider Ben Reilly. We get to see the front part of his card. Extremely exciting. He is a 4-3-3 on defense, 6 health on the front side, threat 4, size 2, medium mover. Excellent sculpt.
Yeah, and right out the gate, I mean, he is a clone of Peter Parker, but he looks a lot like our classic Peter Parker Core Set 1 model, all the way down to some of his abilities, his health, his stats. And we're just going to jump around his card here, Chris. We're not going to do everything in super high-level detail, but he does have a strength of 5, range 2 strike that does have the wild hit elusive trigger, which is always nice to get a little bit of movement on your strikes.
You know, a double trigger, though, pretty tough to get. Although one is hit.
You don't count on it.
Yeah, it's nice when you get it.
He's got a gainer, which we absolutely love.
Yes, we do.
Which completely mimics the gainer of classic Corset Peter and Gwen, where he's got the impact webbing that builds in power. He can push size 2 models, which is cool. He also has a new, slightly different version of whatever a spider can that Amazing Peter has, which is essentially his big spinder attack, which is great. And then he's got a pull, so he's got some displacement. He's got a size 3 throw of enemy character that's not terrain, that's only enemy characters. So once again, very good stuff. He's got Storm's Throw, range 3. Actually better than Storm's Throw because it's size 3. So this is probably the best thing on his card, that he's got Storm's Throw of a size 3. And then he's got Spidey Sense and Wallcrawler. So, I mean, we are getting to that point in the game where we're seeing similarities and differences between like characters and like threats in certain affiliations. I think Ben Reilly is a good example of this. He's a mix of classic Core Set Peter Amazing Peter, maybe a little flavor of Gwen in there. And it's just kind of, now you're building your web warrior team. And it's like, well, what spider person do you want in this four threat slot?
We're starting to have a lot of choices. Ben feels like a more brawly choice. He doesn't have a web sling limited out of turn movement. You know, you're basically banking on a pretty tough to get trigger there, but it is there. But size three character throw is pretty nice.
No web swing and no long move, right? So
right.
Core Peter would have the long move. Miles or some of the other web warriors or new Peter maybe have a web swing. So yeah, we're just getting different variations on that. But, you know, I think web warriors needed another brawler. Venom is kind of the only one they have at the moment in a true brawler sense. And so getting another piece that's a little different from Venom, of course, is nice. And I also love that they showed the fully painted Scarlet Spider and Gwenom models as well. We've seen all this full force. I think they're two of my favorite models for the coming year. I think they're just the models alone are worthy additions to your collections.
That's a bold take there, pal.
There's more later that are better, but
it's got some stuff we got to talk about. Yeah.
But yeah, off of actual sculpts we've seen, I still stand by. I think you and I were talking about this too when these were revealed at Mini Travaganza. Like, these were some of our favorite sculpts from that as well. Like, they're just
absolutely no, these sculpts are very cool. Yeah. The Scarlet Spider sculpt, I'm not a nostalgia guy a lot of the time. I kind of actively fight nostalgia sometimes because I don't know. I feel like companies use it against me, right?
Hmm.
But Scarlet Spider, I can't fight it. That's literally the first comic book I picked up in a grocery store off a rack was Scarlet Spider 1, something like that. Always and forever, we'll love the Scarlet Spider no matter how bad he is written. So I'm looking forward to this very much. And unfortunately, we did not get to see Gwenom's card
today. Yeah, very unfortunate.
They held a lot back for Mini Stravaganza and various, you know, things to get us hyped later when the time comes. I think they did a good job. They did a good job of parsing out information on this, giving us enough to be excited. You know, it used to be early on, Will just couldn't hold his excitement. And he'd kind of let it out. So
he's a fan like us, yeah. But we did get a Gwenom adjacent thing. We did get a new card.
We really did. A very interesting. Venomized. A very interesting and very cool card. I'm going to go into it here.
Yeah.
Venomized, it is unaffiliated. It is an active action. To play this card, it will eat one of your two actions on your turn, mm-hmm. and it must be played by the active character. An allied character may spend three to play this card during its activation. For the rest of the game, the allied character that played this card lowers its energy defense stat by two to a minimum of one. For the rest of the game, the character that played this card has access to the attack shown above. This is the attack. We Are Hungry, a physical attack, range 3, strength 7, power cost of 3. After this attack is resolved, this character removes 1 damage from itself for each damage this attack dealt.
It's Venom Spender. So that's
it
cool.
Is Venom Spender. Put on whoever you want. So this is very interesting. We can all think of a character immediately that this could go on. One that has 20 health on his front side and no backside. Very interesting card. I'm not ready to make any judgments and proclaim it the next problem or S tier or anything like that.
I don't think it can be because it takes an action.
Yep. But what I am saying is I'm excited to use it.
It absolutely just went to the top of kitchen table cards, right?
Bingo. I mean,
it is phenomenal lore and something Chris and I were talking about off mic that I think really excites me about the design space going forward. We've not had a lot of attachments in this game at all, especially hardly any outside of Ultimate Encounter and OP kit play. So the fact that we now have this in the standard game in some form, it's just exciting. I mean, it's like, oh, this is a symbiote Hulk, right? What does that look like, right? So
this is very cool. Playing on that space that I feel like got started with Psylocke.
Yeah.
With the Crimson Dawn that she can play whenever she flips.
Yeah.
That just gives her a new superpower for the rest of the game. I'm excited we're exploring the space. I think it's very, very ripe and a lot of cool things can happen. But speaking of cool things, we got the Sandman card reveal. The Clint one Marco we've all himself. Been waiting on.
Yeah.
And we know what the constructs are. They're grunts. And he can have two of them at a time.
Love it.
Insane. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah, they're a perfect midpoint of like Magneto's constructs and grunts, right? But I mean,
yep.
The fact they have a grunt card clarified everything. So let's talk about Sandman Flint Marko. Easily one of Chris and I's most anticipated models since the games came out. And obviously this year, because we knew he's coming out this year. He's a four threat model, Chris, and he's got a lot on his card. A
lot of text.
Starting with his health and defenses on his front side. He has 6 health. His defenses are 4, 4, 3. Absolutely stellar, but he is a short mover. So keep in mind, this we're dealing with Magneto here. The Magneto mirroring continues, the constructs and the movement. He does have a strike at range 2 of strength of 5, and does have a throw of size 2 or less.
A wild trigger. Yeah. A wild size 2 throw. Never mad at seeing that on a builder.
No, and honestly, something new for the spider foes, where they have throws on their cards, but they're superpowers. They're not on their attacks. So the fact that now they're getting a character that can throw on strikes is very cool. But it continues, right, Chris?
Oh, it absolutely does, because he's got 3 attacks we have to talk about.
Right.
The second is Sandblast. It is a beam 3, strength 5 attack. When you use it, you trigger underfoot after each attack is resolved. If damage is dealt, this character pushes the target character short. So I'm seeing a control piece come into focus here.
I'm loving this.
I knew you would, and I'm scared of it already.
Keeping it going and keeping the amazing bad guy sayings going, we got punch in your ticket. It's a range 2 spender that throws 8 strength that costs 4. Add 2 dice to this attack for each allied sand construct within 2 of the target character. So very similar to Magneto's exploding shrapnel constructs in a way.
Yes, sir.
It's a take on that. It's a take on that. And very scary because the dice get ramped up very quickly. I think it's safe to say at this first pass of this character, you're not going to want to do the spender unless you have the enemy near the constructs, right? Because, I mean, that's the whole point of it. It's kind of baked into the power cost. And it's just raw damage. No conditions or anything. It's just raw damage.
Well, there is a way to put yourself up into range of those sand constructs. And it is his first active superpower, reabsorbed. It will cost you 3 power. Choose an allied sand construct within range 3 of Sandman. Place Sandman within range 1 of the chosen sand construct. Then the chosen sand construct is KO'd and Sandman removes 1 damage from itself. So he's got a way to move, get up the board, do a little bit of self-healing, but you just lost your construct for the punch in your ticket.
I love it. I also was super curious how they were going to implement arguably Sandman's best superpower, which is his mobility and his ability to kind of teleport around Spider-Man and stuff, because that's the nature of him jumping between different sand. So very cool, Chris. I think very high skill ability, and good reason it's cost 3, but very powerful.
Very powerful.
And let's talk about how you're going to create these sand constructs, which we're going to start wrapping our head around before we even get to their grunt card. You may have 2 sand constructs in your squad instead of the normal 1. So changing the grunt rules there. You must activate all allied sand constructs before this character's activation. At the start of this character's activation, if there are fewer than 2 out on the board, Sandman may suffer 2. If he does, place 1 sand construct into play within range 2 of this character. The sand construct gains an activated token and is now part of your squad. So a little bit of mixing and matching of Red Skull and Magneto, where the way they're coming out is very Magneto. But then the way you're dealing with them is you're taking damage and they're getting a token put on them, very similar to Red Skull, right? So very cool, like, new design space of these aren't not quite grunts. They're not quite Magneto constructs. You know, there's something new, which is very cool. And I think I like how it asks questions of the player. Do you really want to take damage on Sandman?
It absolutely does. You could put yourself in a really bad position by doing too many reabsorbs and putting out new constructs too often. You're just going to be down to, you know, 3 health pretty quick if you're not careful.
Absolutely.
Additionally, Sandman's got a couple more things. Sand manipulation. Sandman gains 1 power whenever an allied sand construct deals damage or suffers damage from an enemy effect. So any damage they take from enemies or enemy throws, anything like that, Sandman will be powering up to help himself. And additionally, he does have Healing Factor 1 and Wall Crawler.
Yeah, a lot of innates, but the innates all add up to make sense of how these constructs work. And I adore, Chris, that he has Healing Factor and Wall Crawler. I mean, it makes sense, but it's also like the gamification of the lore is so well executed on this character. And I'm so happy. I mean, I would argue and say this is one of the most thematic, interesting characters we've had in MCP in a long time. It's not just a ball of stats. It's everything is Sandman here, which is absolutely amazing.
It's very cool how all these powers are going to work in concert together. They're very connected. So I am very interested to see how it truly works. I know it's going to be fun to play. I'm just very interested to see where it shakes out. So we need to talk about these grunts really quick before we move on. So these sand constructs, they have 2 health. They move short. They are size 3. They have 1s for defense across the board. They have an attack, sand slap, range 2, strength 4, power cost 0. They also have the underfoot trigger after the attack is resolved. If the attack dealt damage, this character pushes the target character short.
Ooh.
You've got to get damage through on your 4 dice, which is not always easy to do.
No.
But it is very possible.
It's also our first grunt with displacement.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah, so, all the other grunts just roll dice. So,
well, Metal Tyrant's grunts are pretty crazy.
They just roll dice, though. I mean, you know what I mean? Though, like,
well, you blow them up yourself and yeah, deal sure. damage, then get them back sure. out. Same. And then blow them like, up again, all in the same turn.
But I think this already makes them like a huge target because these sand constructs, because that's 2 more chances of displacement in a list that, you know.
Yes, it's massive. He is a huge control piece, I think.
It's like having like 2 really fragile toads out there.
Maybe Blob's going to be worth it, man.
There you go. Yeah.
So let's go through these innates really fast. I'm just going to blaze through them because these are just grunts. But the first is Crumbling Form. This character cannot pick up, hold, contest, or interact with objective tokens. The second is Difficult Terrain. When this character suffers damage from a physical attack, reduce the amount of damage suffered by 1 to a minimum of 1. Additionally, this character cannot be thrown and does not suffer damage from collisions. This is insane. On a grunt, damage reduction and no displacement. It makes sense because they're sand.
Yeah.
But it's kind of wild.
Well, and you can block up, you can use these to backstop and block up areas.
Exactly.
Too,
yes.
With this rule.
Yeah. These that's going to be really huge in high level play, I do believe.
Yeah, I think so.
And the last one with text is Dust to Dust. At the end of an allied Sandman's activation, if this character is not within 3 of it, this character is KO'd. Additionally, when an allied Sandman is dazed, this character is KO'd. So I like that they can't be too far away from Sandman. Going to have to keep this all kind of contained, keep this in a certain little bubble. But that bubble, I mean, 3 away from Sandman, 3 away in the other direction, that's most of the board. So still plenty of space is covered.
Yeah, and I also think it speaks to a lot of space where, what's the objective? How tight is it? Well, it's a pretty tight objective. Sandman might have a lot of like jurisdiction over that particular match of the game, right? But as a more spread board, maybe he has less influence. Maybe he has more. I don't know. My gut on this is that he's going to control areas of the board similar to Mysterio. And the tighter the board is, I don't know, the higher influence all this has.
Feels like he might be pretty good on tight maps.
Absolutely. But we got to move on, Chris, to more spider foes. Vulture has arrived, Adrian Toomes himself, and
Toomes.
He's a 3 threat, which is great.
I think Toomes might have been the most speculated on character out of this box. Just everybody wondering, because there's so much to play with in this design space of the flying character. Was he going to be a 2 threat, 3 threat, 4 threat, long move, medium move? Mm-hmm. Was he going to have some kind of drop off? You know, just all kinds of stuff. And now we know. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
He's a 3 threat. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think getting more 3 threats in the game is good, especially this year. It seems like we're going to get more of them, but let's talk about him real quick. He's a 3 threat with 3 threat stats, 5 stamina, 3 across the board, medium mover, size 2. We don't know what his back size is. Maybe he gets more health on the back. I mean, maybe it stays the same. We'll see. But let's move into his attacks. He has 2, first of which is Raptor Strike, range 2, 5 dice, 0 power cost, physical attack. power equal to damage dealt, and he's going to trigger bleed on a wild. Pretty basic stuff. Basic three threat attack. It's fine.
It's fine.
I'm kind of shocked it's not a range three, to be honest. Like, he'd have some sort of like to emulate some movement. But let's talk about some of that movement coming up. He also has Skyline Hunter. It's range three, strength of 8, power cost of 4. Before damage is dealt, if the target character is size 3 or less, you may throw them at medium. So a very good spender attack. And also keep in mind, no trigger on the throw or anything. So
it just happens.
Yeah, I think the way to just to view this is a size 3 throw for 4. You get to do it range 3. So once again, that storm range, which is great. And you just happen to throw 8 dice before that. So I love that we're getting more displacement for the spider foes. I mean, they've always been kind of a control faction anyways, and with some mid-range potential, and this is just more of that.
Absolutely. They've got plenty of throws now, so expect to see the spider foes against you pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty soon.
His first active superpower is hit and run. We know this one. 2 power, immediately make an attack action followed by a move action. Of course, that move action will be a medium movement for this character.
Yeah,
this is a standard superpower, interesting on a more melee focused character, but I'm not mad about it.
No, he's looking very Zemo-esque in that way, right?
He looks interesting. He looks very interesting to play.
And I think his most interesting power is the one we're talking about now. It's reactive. It's called Abduct, cost 2 power. During its activation, when this character begins a move action within 2 of an enemy character, it may use the superpower. After this move action is resolved, place the enemy character within 2 of his current position. The superpower can be used only once per turn. We got the inverse of Sam Wilson's drop off.
There it is.
That's what this is what he does.
This is why we have a hit and run. This is why he's a melee character.
Yeah.
We found it, everyone.
That's why he probably also doesn't have a gainer, because just be too easy to turn this on at will.
Yep. Right?
I think this is amazing. Yeah.
He doesn't need a gainer. He would be broken with a gainer, but this is good. I think he's going to be very, very fun to play, if not very, very competitive. Let's, of course, round this out and make sure everyone knows that spider foes are built for peta flips. Whenever this character, scientific hubris, whenever this character rolls a dice after the effect is resolved, if it rolled at least 1 critical, Vulture will gain 1 power. So we see this a lot in the spider foes, because it's full of scientists that are all emotionally immature and are mad at a 16-year-old.
Absolutely. And finishing out his card, of course he has flight, but he has flight. It's innate. Though he's not a long mover, though he doesn't have a place or anything, it's nice that he can just avoid all that terrain entirely. And yeah, I think this is an interesting character, Chris. I mean, this is one of the situations where 3 threats don't have to be flashy. They're role players. And I like that we're in the spider foes faction. You know, just off the top of the dome, I mean, we have Mysterio, who controls an area of the board, who's a mystic powerhouse. We have, you know, Lizard, who's more mobile and tanky. Then we have Vulture, who is now this kind of hit and run melee guy that also disrupts models with his abduct and his throw on his spender. And then we have models like Kraven, who are brawlers who want to get in there and hit targets, take them out, and then quickly move out of the combat. You know, very like strike from the shadows thing. And we've got a little flavors of different spider foes altogether. And we don't even know what the next spider foes do. We don't have their cards yet.
Like I said, they're holding stuff back on us to get us hyped all over again. It's a good strategy. I just want to see those cards so bad. I'm very impatient.
Well, talking about being impatient, Chris, let's talk about the next slide, which is very exciting. Before we get to their cards, we got...
Oh my goodness.
Chris and I's last year coming full circle. We're getting a return to the Invaders. We're getting a return to classic Marvel, quite literally almost 100 years ago.
World War II era Marvel, we are back.
Yeah, classic Marvel characters too. I mean, Namor is one of the OGs.
That's correct. And we have covered the Invaders, and I have recommended that run heavily in every Invaders-related episode. So I'm feeling pretty good about this one. And I must say, the Namor model, fully painted, looking great. He knows that, though. Namor's always known he's looking great.
Custom base and everything.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Really cool. All right. Let's really get to the star of the show, though.
Please.
I'm over the moon for this character.
Yes.
And I understand, Yes, it's our third Black Panther, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I get that. And I echo you. I'm actually with you, even though I just blah, blah, blah'd you. But this character looks extremely fun to play. This is Black Panther, Chosen of Bast. It is T'Challa. He is a three-threat character. So threes across the board for his defensive stats. He is a 5 health on the front side, size 2, medium mover. He has 2 attacks. They are both mystic. The first is Panther Strike, range 2, strength 5, power cost of 0, gains power equal to the damage dealt, and on wild, you will trigger bleed. I mean, it's the same thing we just talked about with Vulture. It's fine. It is mystic, though. Mystic is less represented in the game and gets around a lot of these martial artists' characters. So that is not to be overlooked. The spender here is Spirit Predator, range 2. Strength of 7, power cost of 4. On a wild and hit, you will trigger Finisher. After this attack is resolved, Black Panther, Chosen of Bast, may make a Panther Strike attack. This character may reroll any number of dice during that attack. That's strong.
Yeah, it's looking back to classic Black Panther, right? With the mantle where he can reroll dice. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. What's super exciting just of these attacks to me, Chris, you know, this is a three-threat character. One of our first Wakandans and Black Panthers, of course, with mystic attacks. I mean, attack variety is important.
And it's fine. I mean, lore-wise, it's coming full circle because Black Panther is not just a physical fighter. He's a very spiritual person as well.
Absolutely.
You know, he delves into the spirit realm pretty often. And this is also, you know, Chosen of Bast, man. That's pretty cool. We'll get into it on his lore episode, and I'm super excited about it. But Jesse, we've got some superpowers that really complement this attack suite, so we got to get into it. Our singular active superpower is Pounce for 2. You will throw this character short, does not suffer damage if it collides with another character or terrain feature, can only do it once per turn. So this is an inactivation out of action movement. Very strong. Potentially 3 automatic damage coming into a character for 2 power. I mean, that's gonna hurt Professor X, okay? He's not going to be able to save that. We have another superpower. This is a reactive superpower, Insight of the Ancients. It's going to cost you 1 power. When Black Panther, Chosen of Bast, rolls dice while interacting with an objective token, it may use this superpower. This character may reroll any number of its dice, including skull results. So another pay-to-flip monster here.
Super cool, too, that it's just like an insurance policy, right?
Yes.
That you can take out on pay-to-flips. It's new. It's something we haven't seen in the game. We have seen rerolls on pay-to-flips with things like Heimdall and stuff. But this is saying, like, you react. You're choosing to interact with an objective. You make a decision. Love it.
Black Panther, Chosen of Bast, has stealth.
Ooh.
Love that. He has another innate called Superior Agility. Enemy characters cannot modify attack dice when targeting this character with attacks. You can't explode crits. You cannot reroll. That's cool.
Yeah, I was curious where his defensive deck was coming in because his stats are very low, right? Even for a 3-threat.
Correct.
He's on the low end of stats. But then you see these first 2 bits, stealth and superior agility, and you're like, okay, there's layers to his defensive tech.
Correct. And to pull it all together, wrap it all in a nice little bow, he is a wall crawler. So, incredible sculpt. One of the best cape and collars I've ever seen in miniature gaming.
Love it.
I'm over the moon for the sculpt. I'm very excited to play this character. I think he's going to be very strong. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. It's okay if I am, because I'll play him anyway.
We'll both be playing him. This model alone is just incredible. And shout out to the model, because we haven't mentioned it yet. If the listener hasn't seen them, Chris, I mean, describing this model to the listener, another custom base, looks like a medium-sized base, which is even better. And he's got that cape, and he also has the Black Panther with him, which I just adore.
It's so cool, man.
I just can't wait for what people are going to do hobby-wise, because, I mean, you could make it a real organic Black Panther like this, or you can make it one of the Spirit Panthers, right? I mean, you could really do a lot of options, and I think I'm going to go maybe more of the Spirit Panther route, but I also love AMG showing their prowess in sculpting, and this Namor and Black Panther having custom bases, one being Namor on the beach with all the way down to, like, we've got a beach crab on his base.
It's him showing up to visit his old buddies, you know, his old human buddies that no one knows about. Yeah. I've talked about it. Go listen to the original Human Torch episode.
Yeah, absolutely do it and learn more about the Invaders. But let's talk about the Invaders shield card, Chris.
Excellent.
This is very exciting. So it's shield and reactive, the Invaders. After deployment, an allied Namor, the Submariner, or Steve Rogers, Captain America, that's Shield Steve, may play this card. The character that played this card gains the following leadership for the game. Invaders, affiliation Shield. Allied characters may reroll one defense dice. Additionally, they may modify and reroll failure skull results while they are within two of another allied character. We just got Web Warrior Shields.
Pretty interesting, right?
Pretty interesting, yeah. Very different for Shield, too.
And I mean, this also is going to beef up that Chosen of Bast defense as well. Running him in Invaders, of course. You should be.
I mean, just keep the lore alive.
Yeah, simply for lore reasons.
We're going to have big discussions about this stuff later. I mean, Shield went from being an amazing spot to a weird spot to another good spot again. So to see them get more releases and essentially a third leadership, right? I mean, they're getting a third leadership altogether here. But it's a card you play and attach, and what are all the layers to that? Yeah, maybe Namor and or Steve Rogers, Steve, are just a flex leader you have now in your shield list.
They're really fleshing Shield out here. Shield is going to have a lot of options character-wise and leadership-wise, which is very exciting. When it came out, I was like, so small. How are we gonna develop this? And they've really gone way farther with it than I thought they would. So big ups, AMG.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of expanding teams, Chris,
you got to let me talk about this one, bud. Taking this one.
We are getting the Defenders being expanded by none other than Shang-Chi and Silver Sable, and all the way confirmed by the developers now that this is a Defenders box.
This is a Defenders box, and more about this box has been confirmed, and that is whatever we read to you on Shang-Chi today, which is awesome. The front of his card is so cool.
Yeah.
The back changes. And if I was intonating Schick's tone properly, I think the back changes quite a bit.
I hope so.
I'm not positive on that. Okay. That is pure speculation there. So please do not take that as fact.
Well, guide us through Shang-Chi's card then, Chris. Let's just get right into it.
I will begin to Sherpa. Yes, sir. He's a 4-threat character. The defensive stat line is 4-3-4. He has 5 health on his front side, size 2. Medium mover. He has 2 attacks. His first attack is a physical attack, 10,000 shaped strike. Range 2, strength of 6, power cost of 0. Gains power equal to the damage dealt before choosing a target. Shang-Chi can make this a physical or mystic attack.
No big deal.
Oh, baby. And hold on.
Gets better.
It gets insane. I mean, you might be this is.
Six is already great.
This is built for Daredevil's leadership.
Yeah, for sure.
On a crit and a defense, you will trigger stagger. That's massive.
Absolutely massive. Yeah, the defender rerolls continue. I mean, Cage with the double wild stagger, and now we got this. Danny with his dragon punch. I mean, it just keeps coming, Chris. And speaking of that, the analogy to Danny continues here because we do have an energy attack, rising phoenix kick, range 3, strength of 5, power cost of 0. It's a gainer. It's going to gain you 1 power. And he plays within range 1. Exactly what Danny has, and arguably one of the best things on Danny's card because it just gives you mobility without moving. And Shang-Chi can do this now.
Interestingly enough, there is no spender on the front part of his card.
Very interesting.
Just throwing that out there.
Sounds like a Black Bolt situation.
It could be a Black Bolt situation, folks. We do have some superpowers. The first is an active superpower, Hidden Flower Under the Leaves. Power cost of 2. It is an action. Shang-Chi makes a move action followed by a 10,000 shaped strike attack. The superpower can be used once per turn. It is a charge, but you must use the first attack.
The strike.
The Rising Phoenix Kick, the gainer. Cannot use it. That's too much movement.
Yep. It's good stuff. And keeping this going, he has a reactive dragon chases its tail. Cost 2 as well. After an attack against this character's resolve, if the attacking character is within range 2 of Shang-Chi and Shang-Chi did not suffer damage from the attack, Shang-Chi may use a superpower. Throw the enemy character short.
You come for the king, you best not miss.
This card is wild, Chris.
Goodness.
It just gets better and better.
It's going to still go. We've got another reactive superpower.
All five guys.
Elements fist. Oh, baby. It's going to cost you one. When this character makes a 10,000 shape strike attack, after the attack is resolved, Shang-Chi may use this superpower. Choose one of the following effects. Keep in mind, this is only costing you one on a six dice builder that you probably gained this power by using the strike. Okay. So your two options are this. Flow like water. This character advances short. That's wild. The second option is 1-inch punch. Choose an enemy character within two and size three or less and push it away short. If it contacts a character or terrain feature during the push, it gains the stun special condition.
Wow.
This is nuts.
Are we sure Shang-Chi is a four?
It's not feeling like it, man. And to really bring home the Defenders, martial artist, Iron Fist theme.
Yep.
The last superpower is an innate supreme martial artist. When Shang-Chi is defending it against an attack, targeting it from within range three, just like Iron Fist.
Yep.
Shang-Chi adds blanks in its defense rolls to its total successes. And this is across the board. This works for Mystic too. There are no limiting factors on what type of attack he can do this for. So this looks awesome. I'm so excited to play him in Defenders. I'm so excited to see the back part of his card. I haven't even seen Silver Sable yet.
Absolutely amazing.
It's the year of the Defenders, baby.
It already was the year of the Defenders, I feel like. And
now keep it's going. Let's keep this party going.
Yeah, Shang-Chi just is like a more beefed up Iron Fist, which is super cool. And it works lore-wise.
Like, I feel like maybe a more realized Iron Fist too.
Just, yeah, like they've got more experience with the game. And it does feel like martial arts here, Chris.
It really does. Giving the choices
Which route you're going with your form.
It's so cool. Like, I love it.
The five element fist is, it has my attention. It is so good.
For real. It's very, very cool. And since he doesn't have a spender, you're going to be spending on these charges. Yep. You're going to be spending on using powers after your first builder. It's going to be very, very cool. You're going to be flying around the board with the charges and the flying kicks. It's going to be very fun. But we have a new tactics card for the Defenders here.
Yeah, very exciting.
Which this many folks cheered when the Defenders finally, in the hall, when the Defenders were confirmed to get some new tactics cards. You've been waiting a while, guys. Good job. Here we go. It is Mystic Ward, Defenders active. An allied Defenders character may spend two power to play this card. Choose an objective token within range three of the character that played this card and place a Mystic Ward token on it. The marked objective token cannot be interacted with, contested, or controlled this round. If a player is currently controlling the objective token, they are no longer controlling it. Remove the Mystic Ward token during the next power phase. So we're just turning off a scoring point for a round.
Yeah, absolutely huge on something like the researcher, like a two or the fist witnesses, right?
I mean, even sword. If you're losing the sword and you can't afford to be moved, bam.
Yeah, absolutely. So the fact that that gets those Daredevil Defenders and even those Doctor Strange Defenders just a guaranteed one more turn, possibly of attrition as well, to slow the game down against objective scoring teams. It's very cool. And I think it opens a lot of doors for them, and they need more tax cards, and they're getting them.
They're getting them. More are probably going to be coming. Very excited for this box, man.
Yeah, man.
Truly.
I still think the Silver Sable model is just so well done and so like minimalistic in a good way. Like, and she's actively moving, and it's like she's being shot at. It really reminds me of like some of the better Infinity models out there.
It reminds me of the new Crossbones model.
Ooh.
There's just something so good about his pose. He's not really doing a lot of action.
But the pose is
just nailed, and it's just them doing what they do.
Yeah.
That new Bucky, like all the sculpts in the new core set are just awesome. So speaking of awesome sculpts, Jesse.
Yeah.
The next slide that we got shown, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this.
No.
But it is a sneak peek of a terrain piece coming for the Asgardians.
Yep.
And on this terrain piece, we have Jane Foster Thor.
Yes.
We have Lady Sif. We have the new Odinson Thor, which I'm assuming is going to be Thor, God of Thunder.
Sixth threat Thor. Yep.
Facing down the new Loki in his fully horned, helmeted glory. Oh man, what a it's shot. Good. They're painted so well. This accentuates all the models, even Loki, who's got the back of the model towards the camera.
Yep.
It's a very well done picture. The paint jobs are great. I'm very hyped for this box.
No, I agree. I mean, we've talked about these on our last major news update with Mini Stravaganza when AMG showed us all this in full. But as Chick said during this thing, he's like, you know what? I want to sneak this slide in. I know you guys have seen all this, and I know you guys have even seen the Asgardian terrain over previous Mini Stravaganzas and stuff as they did play streams. But
right.
The fact that they're just like, no, remember, all this is coming at the end of the summer. Asgard is coming and they're going to get a huge injection of models. Literally a small affiliation getting four models is a massive change up for the game.
You know, and we'll use this slide to kind of shout out, you know, some sculpts and some painters and things too. And I thought that was really, really good. They do that all the time during their presentations to let you know if it was sculpted in-house by who. I think very cool.
All right, Chris, now we're to the good part.
Oh, this is where I get to pat myself on the back.
Before you pat yourself on the back, let's talk about the curveball they threw with two new models.
Oh, I'm gonna pat myself for this one too, because I've said, give me the New Mutants, you cowards, and then they did.
Right, but we are in the segment of the show now where we are covering all of AMG's brand new reveals, stuff we did not know existed. So now we're at a level of hype that is very exciting. I mean, we didn't know about Namor and Black Panther either, but now it is, these are all new things that they're like, they're coming out either this year or the beginning of next year.
I'm just so happy.
Start with those New Mutants, Chris. Tell us about it.
Oh my God. We got Sunspot. We got Warlock confirmed. This Sunspot model looks crazy. He's flying in the air with nothing but the solar plasma discharge coming from his hand, keeping him in the air. The sculpt looks awesome. And then Self-Friend is so happy. Warlock is coming to the game. I never thought they'd bring Warlock to the game.
Same.
If I ever mentioned bringing Warlock to the game, it was always in jest.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
We're getting Warlock with DaCosta in the same box. I mean, makes total sense. I can only hope that Cannonball's on the way. That's just me being greedy. This is awesome, man. The New Mutants faction, we're closer and closer every day.
I agree. No, I absolutely agree. And we've also seen that AMG is not afraid to do leaderships later down the line with cards and things like that. I mean, look at Namor and Shield Steve, right? So maybe the New Mutants falls in that. Maybe they just fall within the existing mutant factions, but either way, we're getting them in the game.
We're going to get them. And I'm excited to play with Warlock and Sunspot. And it's clear that Sunspot's on a medium base too. I should say that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the box that we're very hyped about, both of us. My personal favorite look of Logan, by the way, is this look. It's just too iconic to me.
This slide literally knocked me off out of my seat. And I'm not kidding. I was on the ground.
I love it so much. I'm sad I had to miss that.
This box is Maverick and Weapon X. This is Logan with the helmet on his head, the wires coming out of him.
He does have pants on, though, thank goodness. But
well, thank goodness. I say cowards.
Yeah, but cowards covered up with wires. Yeah.
Yep. But gosh, he is standing in the snow, almost naked, just enraged. This is that classic Weapon X Wolverine. I mean, it's not even Wolverine at this point. Yeah, it's Weapon X. We'll see what they do with it, with his power set and everything. But in the box with him, it's Maverick. I called it. No, I didn't call it. I never thought they'd give us Maverick. And that's why I was saying it on the show, just to throw a monkey wrench out there. But they did. They brought Maverick. His sculpt looks good. He's got two guns because he was made in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his mask on. His hair's looking great. A lot of opportunity to paint some non-metallic metal with this guy. Everyone's favorite mutant soldier of fortune is coming to the game.
Oh, man. What an exciting box. And one more Logan to add to my collection, because Chris knows I have so many in the way.
Careful, don't make people mad.
I know.
Okay, so now we have to get to our new big bad. It feels like they give us a big bad every year. You know, one of these villains that is just synonymous with Marvel, that has transcended the Marvel universe into pop culture. And this year, it's one of the best.
if not the best.
Well, there will be Doom, but
that's true. Yeah, yeah.
This year, close second to my man, Vic, it's Apocalypse.
It's Apocalypse. We love him. We adore him.
Dude, this sculpt looks nuts too.
And Schick did shout out the sculptor who did this. You know, keep in mind, you should watch the stream, hear some of this straight from their
mouths, but you should watch the stream. Yeah.
But Schick shouting out the sculptor who did this, did the original Thanos sculpt, and getting to return to that, this format of a big Marvel threat with a custom base, with same type of build that Thanos has. I mean, it's just, it's so exciting. And, you know, I like Thanos. I think Thanos is a crucial part of Marvel, but I love Apocalypse. I mean,
you guys don't know this, but Jesse's a big, big survival of the fittest guy. No, I'm just kidding.
No, Apocalypse is just like the ultimate. Oh man, what would you even call him? I mean, he's like a force of nature, right? He absolutely is. Like, I mean, his evil.
You know, he's another one of these bad guys that in their mind, they're the conquering hero saving the world.
Yes, for right? sure.
And that's always compelling, especially yeah. coupled with the extreme amount of power. And let's be honest, just all the cool stuff that's happened around Apocalypse, the Age yeah. of Apocalypse, whether you liked it or love it, there or liked it or hated it, there's so much going on
so much
in
good
Age
stuff
of Apocalypse and so many cool new character designs, redesigns, simple changing of concepts that really get you thinking about stuff. And case in point, our next box. This box is wild. It goes. You can't talk about the Apocalypse box without talking about this one. So we're just going to lump them together. But this, it's going to be Angel, and just his wings look amazing. The mm-hmm. sculpt looks cool. You have to see it. But the other person in this box is Archangel. This yeah. is this is the
horseman.
One of the four horsemen of Apocalypse. He was the horseman of death. Probably Apocalypse's favorite horseman, most tortured horseman, most known horseman.
Right.
Definitely one of Angel's pivotal point in his character.
For sure.
And I think Schick mentioned that there is going to be a tactics card with Apocalypse to bring other people in as, to bring other models in as some of the horsemen.
It sounded almost like a Dormammu Thanos type, where they have a rule breaking thing that either helps with their list building or Thanos case, the gems, or so we'll see what they do with that. But I mean, he even mentioned Wolverine as death and how fun that is.
Mm. The sculpts on all three of these models are honestly exactly what you want them to be.
And modular options too, he said.
I believe that. Yeah.
He said modular different Apocalypse arms. You could have his kind of bio gun arm, or you could have just the hand he has out, or he's like world domination. You could have more like brawly.
It's going to be great. I can't wait. I have to see this card. I'm terrified and I'm excited at the same time.
New kaiju every year, you know?
It's fun. And it's fun. They maybe showed us the next one too, but not yet. We're not there yet.
No.
We've got one more box to go through.
Yeah, and shout out to the Angel stuff and the Apocalypse stuff, Chris, because you were mentioning AMG did approach this through the lens of that storyline, which I absolutely love. I mean, you've got the broken obelisk on Archangel's base, which I absolutely adore. Kind of got more of the cloud on Angel's base, which is just a nice touch. And then similar to Thanos, it looks like Apocalypse is coming with a custom Egyptian runes base and of course his Apocalypse statues, Egyptian statues, which you know are going right on my Egyptian board, you know.
Of course,
which was always intended this whole time to have a Apocalypse or, you know, Khonshu.
Moon Knight was the excuse, Apocalypse was the goal.
Of course, and now I get to say things like Chris would say on the show, where I say, give us Khonshu, cowards.
Ooh, let's go. We got him, folks. We got him there.
And give me Khonshu in his chair and his suit.
Oh, yes.
Right? He's just sitting there.
Suited Moon Knight or Khonshu or both would be awesome.
I would adore it. Absolutely. But
let's speak of scary. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to see the thing that I said at the beginning of this last year and beginning of this year was my most anticipated thing, because I think this is the direction I would see MCP go, where we go way off the beaten path and we explore other parts of Marvel through mechanics and through sculpts that, frankly, we don't see as much. And we knew Dracula was coming. We saw his art. It looked incredible. I still think some of the better art they've done in recent years. And now we've seen Dracula's sculpts and also the entire wave built around him, which apparently AMG is slated to release in October. and give us the full spooky season. So Chris and I might be extending our Halloween special to multiple
there's episodes. No might be.
It's happening.
Oh my gosh. We're so both exciting. Going to be so happy in October.
Yeah, absolutely. I just cannot wait for this.
So let's get into this box. We get to see the Dracula sculpt,
It is glorious. It is glorious. Absolutely.
He is standing. His hair is being swept back in the wind. There are bats coming out of his cloak. He's giving us the old Captain Morgan,
yes,
you know, pose here with one knees on a rock.
Darth Vader, join me.
Yes, pose, the Darth Vader, join me hand is out. His other hand is just, the sword is at rest with the point down.
I adore
his cape is flowing. It's incredible, but
custom base too, looks like.
Absolutely. I think there's three custom bases in this.
I think they all
box.
Have custom bases. Yeah. I think every single one of them does have some sort of cobblestone esque base.
And yes, that's right, guys. Jesse said every one of them. There were four reveals in this box, one of whom we knew was coming. The other three, Frankenstein's Monster, Living Mummy, and my personal favorite, something we called for last year, I do believe, Jack Russell, Werewolf by Night himself, all in the Tomb of Dracula box. And I think they did something very, very cool with their tactics cards. Schick said there are three tactics cards coming in this box. They all fit together to make one piece of art.
Yeah. Three or four where they just all slide together and you get this full Marvel Monsters scene, right? Which is absolutely very amazing. Cool. Looks like they all have a name tactics card. Living Mummy and Frankenstein's Monster were absolutely the curveballs that I was not ready for, yes. Chris. I think you and I, when they showed Dracula, were like, oh, of course now, in our minds, there's like a 90% chance we're getting Werewolf by Night, Man-Thing, and also Bloodstone in some capacity. But getting Living Mummy and Frankenstein's Monster, I mean, I'm just super happy. Part of this makes me think we might even get players that have no interest in Marvel as an IP might come try this game because they like these type of characters in pop culture.
I truly hope so. And I truly hope that we get Frankencastle at some point. So with this, not with this box, but during this phase, there's also going to be a Tomb of Dracula terrain piece.
Yes.
That will be released. And apparently it is massive. It is playable. So don't get upset yet.
Multiple
but it
floors.
Is a massive playable piece. They will be at Adepticon next year, apparently, on the boards to play. So
adore it.
Be ready for that. That's very exciting. I'm hoping to have one, but it's also going to double as a really cool display piece. So if you need something awesome to show your Tomb of Dracula characters with your awesome paint jobs off, you got it. I think some other teams like the Midnight Suns slot in really well there to be shown off in something like that as well.
Absolutely. And it is a separate terrain piece. This is not a Rivals box locked thing.
Correct.
They made it very clear these four characters will be box releases and the Castle Dracula, Tomb of Dracula terrain piece will be its own thing, which is great. And it looked gorgeous, to be honest.
It looks incredible. They're really, really just outdoing themselves sculpt-wise. All right, Jesse. This one's big.
Big.
I don't know if this is the new big bad for next year, for 2025. I don't know if they'd show
probably.
Us that new kaiju that early, but maybe they are. Maybe 2025 is going to be an insane year of reveals, so they thought they could show this early. But they showed us the sculpt from Mephisto.
Another custom base, by the way.
Yeah. Another custom base. I'm really...
what
I'm
do you say?
Yeah. Flabbergasted. I mean, Damnation. I'm going to get to cover Damnation in its entirety, the whole event, just because of this stuff, which has me excited. Scarlet Spider's involved. Mephisto's involved. Characters that are already, other characters already out are involved. It's going to be great to be able to talk about that. I am extremely interested in how Mephisto is going to work in game. Schick said he is all about making your opponent make compromises or deals that maybe they don't want to make, but they kind of have to. So I think it's going to be an interesting design space that they explore, and I'm very excited about it. Could not be more excited, as a matter of fact. Oh, wait, yes, I can, because the next four models we're about to talk to all have me extremely hyped.
Yeah, absolutely. I second everything you said about Mephisto. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, even if you don't like Mephisto, I mean, him being in the game seems right, especially with the 100%. Way our game has been And I'm not a huge Mephisto fan myself. And it's the type of thing where it's like, but I love the role he plays in Marvel.
So what I really love about Mephisto is the way characters have to beat him. It puts writers in interesting positions because the way the character works, he's going to cut a deal with you. And that deal is, you know, it's going to be a monkey paw type situation.
Oh, yeah.
And the way a character has to beat Mephisto is by outthinking him. It, you know, it's a lot like what was so great about John Constantine in the early Hellblazer run in the Vertigo comics, DC comics. And that is,
yeah,
you know, this guy is, you know, out clevering and outsmarting and out tricking the devil himself. And that is what Mephisto forces characters to do. And there's also a little bit of kind of irreverent comedy that usually comes with Mephisto appearances, not from him himself,
no,
but usually his underlings and the various demons and whatnot, various denizens of hell, H-E-L, in Marvel. So Mephisto is usually a welcome story beat for me, though not a character I ever want to identify with personally, yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a force in the Marvel universe, right? And
the sculpt looks cool.
I heard that crowd response when this was revealed, Chris. People went nuts.
It was very neat.
It was very neat. I think because people just weren't expecting it. You know what I mean?
No.
I think Apocalypse, people went nuts as well. But I think there's some sliver of everyone was like, well, surely we're getting Apocalypse one day. And then Mephisto, I think, was a curveball that no one was ready for, but it makes perfect sense in Marvel Crisis Protocol. And speaking of things that make perfect sense in Marvel Crisis Protocol, getting a second leader of the Midnight Suns and Elsa Bloodstone and getting Man-Thing, this just went straight to the top of my most anticipated boxes. And I know it's early next year, but still.
This is the beginning of the presentation where we're just getting
pictures,
graphic previews. These are not the actual sculpts or even mock-ups of what they want the sculpt to look like.
Right. Probably card art, though.
Maybe card art, yeah. But this is Elsa Bloodstone, a Man-Thing coming in a box. If it's the year of the Defenders, the Midnight Suns have to be right there too, right? Because
yeah,
so much overlap. Those teams are joined at the hip in a lot of different ways. And I'm really happy for you on this one. I know you've been wanting this for a long, long time, but I'm a selfish man and I've got the mic right now, Jesse. So
sure,
we're getting Richard Rider, buddy.
I know.
Nova's coming.
I can't even believe what they'll probably do with his sculpt.
I was blown away. I was still riding high from Weapon X and Maverick. Don't get me wrong. But this one, I've been calling for Nova for a while. Nova number one was one of my first investor comics that I ever invested in. I love Nova. Everyone knows I love Marvel Cosmic.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This every release coming up is just, there's nothing I'm not excited about. And the things I'm the most excited about are just uncontainable levels of hype.
And one would assume too, I mean, Guardian's getting a high threat leader. That's very interesting. And that's just very different play style. That's what it
feels like is going to happen here.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, I know Guardian's getting more help is annoying, but I don't care.
No, I don't either. I think these are two characters we want to see in the game. And the second character is Yondu. Getting Yondu in the game, we were unsure if they were going to do it because, you know, the lines with Yondu kind of get blurred between the MCU and comics. And honestly, he's just more of a thing in the MCU than he is in comics. But Michael Rooker, what he brought to that character, it just took off similar to Chris Pratt's Star-Lord. And they're like, oh, we got to do stuff.
Their performances were so good that it forced Marvel to change the way they're presented in Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
And I like that now we get Yondu because of that. A character we would have never gotten in this game before the Guardians movies.
Yeah, and we've been talking about a long time. Like, people cooler and smarter than me have even been proxying Yondu in their list with Hawkeye card, yeah, you know, and just having fun with it. Like having a thematic Guardians MCU list, right? So the fact that we get Yondu now, maybe some stuff with the Ravagers, like maybe some Ravager cards and stuff. Who knows?
This is all coming out next in 2025. So we've got plenty of time for more surprises from them on this. And speaking of the last slide they gave us, which I truly appreciate this.
I really
do. AMG does this. That is the 2024-2025 release timeline. Just straight up tells you when all these boxes are coming.
Yep.
So we're going to get the Spider Foes. We're going to get Gwenom and Scarlet Spider in May. July, we're going to get the Defenders box. We're going to get the Invaders box. And then quarter three, we're going to get Weapon X, Maverick. We're going to get Sunspot and Warlock. We're going to get the Asgardian box. We're going to get the Apocalypse box. And the terrain, the Apocalypse terrain, which they didn't really show us much of, but it like is the, coming.
Yeah, the tombs and obelisks and stuff.
The,
yeah,
the shrine to
golly.
I know, man.
I love it.
And we're getting Angel and Archangel in Q3. And then Q4, Tomb of Dracula, Tomb of Dracula character pack, and Mephisto 2025, early 2025, should be Elsa Bloodstone, Man-Thing, Nova, and Yondu. So very cool. We know what to expect. Phenomenal. Love that MCP does this. And honestly, it was an awesome presentation. I'm super excited for the next year. Adepticon has my hype bucket full.
Absolutely. And also AMG said this is going to be their go-to thing now every year for Adepticon and Mini Extravaganza, of course, and that this timeline will also be updated accordingly. So I assume Chris and I will keep you guys informed when we get the next release timeline. And I'm
absolutely
sure we'll have more concrete dates on maybe even things like Elsa and Man-Thing and things like that, because come July, when they do Mini Extravaganza, it's closer, frankly, to 2025. So they're probably willing to give us more information, which I absolutely love. And I mean, Chris, you and I talked about this, the road to this year in our episodes when the year first rolled around, but this is going to be a year that was, I think it's going to be a year for the books. I think it's going to be one of the best MCP years because I think they're taking a lot of risks, but they're also filling a lot of gaps in the game that are needed. Case in point, things like the Spider Foes and the Defenders. I mean, come on, like that's stuff that people have been wanting for a long time.
Yep.
And rightfully so, they're releasing it this year. But then they're going all the way to things like Marvel Cosmic and Marvel Monsters and all the way to Mephisto, right? So, I mean, we're opening doors that we've never had open, and they're going to take all my money this year.
Oh, yeah. Mine's gone.
It's rough. I mean, I think you and I even talked about it where it's like, uh-oh, we're having one of those years of Spider Foes, Web Warriors, Mutants, and Marvel Monsters. That's all my money.
Not to mention all the Shatterpoint reveals were built to make me buy them, too. So
absolutely.
It's going to be a tough year.
It's going to be a tough year. Some decisions will have to be made. Some boxes will have to be, you know, skipped on for a little bit, maybe returned
held
later.
Held off, yeah.
Held off. Definitely on. Held off. But some of these, though, is going to be day one for me. And that's absolutely, you know.
We were planning those out off mic, folks.
Absolutely. So that is the Adepticon reveals from the panel. Let's talk about Adepticon as a whole, Chris, when we close out this episode. And
yeah, just your a tournament real quick of experiences. One, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, as mentioned, I was in the team tournament, Ronin Around, Matt Pettit and I teamed up and we played Defenders. We had a great time. We ended up going 3-2 in the tournament, placing 8th.
Incredible.
We had a chance at 4-1 there at the end, but man, Graham got us. What can I say? Graham's criminals. I just couldn't give him enough beer and mind-altering substances for him to not beat us, unfortunately. No, not unfortunately. That was my most favorite game of the whole week, was our final team game. Just so much fun. I feel like I made 2 new friends by the end of that game. Really. And just the team event as a whole was incredible. I had such a blast. I ended up playing a 24-point game, which,
yep,
that's hard to do.
Happens in this format. Yeah.
Happens in that format. Doesn't happen as often as you'd think, though. But
no,
it was a blast. It was an absolute blast. I also played in the Empirical League, which was great. Played a really fun game against Professor X and his new leadership. I got to see Nightcrawler's top end potential realized against my Hulk, and it is pretty impressive. Professor X with reactive superpowered characters is a really, really cool idea. Shout out to my opponent there, Alex, for his interesting team there. It was what he ran against me was Professor X, Crimson Dynamo, Cable, and Nightcrawler into my Defenders. Yeah, it was really fun to watch that list work, and it was really cool. Got me thinking about some how to play against Professor X, and also some teams I want to try out with him as well. So big shouts to my opponent Alex there on that one. Otherwise, Jesse, I did a lot of hanging out. I did a lot of observing games. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of playing, you know, just league games.
Yeah, we got to hang out with some of you guys there.
Just, you know, being a member of the community, enjoying my Adepticon time, catching up with some great friends. You know, big shouts to Sean Sandbox. Hadn't got to see him since Warfare Weekend, and it was awesome to hang out with you most of the weekend, dude. Can't wait to hang out with you again.
We absolutely adore Sean here, and he is now part of the Gamers Guild doing content there with them, which is go absolutely check him amazing. Out. Shout out while we're here too, Chris. Dr. D played in the team event, so I do want to mention that.
He ducked me. I'm pretty sure he intentionally lost a game to make sure to not play me. He knew my hornhead was going to show him how hornheads really work.
Absolutely. So Dylan was playing that roster that we built on the After Dark earlier in the year of spider foes and criminals, you know, just playing whatever leadership you need, which I absolutely adore. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy you got to do this tournament, Chris, because for a while there it was looking like it was mainly going to be the league for you because you didn't get into the Challenger or the Timeline, and neither did I. I did not get into the Challenger or Timeline, which were my goals, especially the Challenger. Essentially, when the Challenger was fully filled up and then there was a fully filled up wait list as well, that's when I pivoted to a Shatterpoint event on the Challenger day. And
you know, signs of a healthy game, I suppose.
Absolutely. Wait lists on the Shatterpoint events as well. So, I mean,
that's good.
Adepticon was in full force.
AMG's firing on all cylinders right now, and I'm not a Legion player. I have been in the past, and I may have said I'll play two games a year going forward.
Sure.
But the Legion had a great reveal day too, man.
Oh, yeah. And they had an incredible Worlds showing. I mean,
just they did.
Hundreds and hundreds of Legions tables. Like
Legions of Legion players?
Legions of Legions tables, which is absolutely amazing. And I played in an event every single day at the con. And I also picked up League games and Marvel and Shatterpoint when I could, though I had less time for League games. Understandably so.
You were pretty busy.
Yeah, AMG stacks their days, but I played in several events and was on the professional casual stream a couple times and just had a blast. And, you know, I'm going to talk more about those events on my Hello There podcast, of course, because they were Shatterpoint events that I was playing in. But it's the type of thing where when you're in it, you're like, man, this is so many games. This is so great. But then, like, you're so exhausted at the end of every day in a good way. But I mean, just to put in perspective, not including League games, because I'm not counting up all those for you guys, but, you know, competitive tournament games over the weekend, I played 16.
That's awesome.
16 games.
I think I got around 16 games of MCP and maybe closer to 12, but only five of them were in a tournament setting, which next year I will remedy. I would have really liked to have been in Timelines. It seems like that was a big success with the folks that competed in it.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any negative. Looking forward to Mike DeLuca's talk about it on the Danger Room podcast, actually.
Love it so much. No, absolutely. And also Mojo Ball.
Mojo Ball was awesome. Right? I got to observe a lot of games. I sat through the rules presentation. I didn't quite get to play a game of Mojo Ball, but I feel pretty good about how it works. It's going to be fun. It's very interesting.
I can't wait to like actually play it.
I can't wait to play it either.
I think it's one of my bigger regrets that I missed out on Mojo Ball and the Star Wars Gonk Racing, which were just two completely random formats.
I didn't get to see anything about Gonk Racing, unfortunately, but I am very into trying it at Mojo Ball and Gonk Racing. I think we're just going to have to do one of our, you know, local nights is going to have to be a Mojo Ball night.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We just got to make sure we get all the documents and all the things before that.
When they come out, we will definitely be there. I think my guess would be Gen Con.
Oh, absolutely. And another cool thing, Chris, about Adepticon, which we haven't mentioned yet, all this good stuff, and we're forgetting one of the coolest parts. Getting tickets for playing games.
Yeah.
Just playing games. Whether you win or lose, you get tickets, whether that's competitive tournament games or whether that's league games. And then at the end of the con, we got to cash in our tickets and get some prize wall things. So what did you get from the prize wall, Chris?
Well, I got some of the cool range rulers for MCP.
Oh, man, those mutant some range
the,
rulers.
Yep. Some of the mutant ones. I went with last year's set, knowing they were last year's set, just because I preferred the coloration and design on those sets. I got a couple of, you know, AMG alternate colored dice. So they are official dice, usable in official tournaments, but they are blue instead of red. So look how cool I am.
Yeah. And they're like marbled blue. That's
yeah. They really look pretty. They're gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. Really pretty. Awesome. I was really curious what you got. Yeah. I ended up getting some Shatterpoint defense dice. And then, as you said, the tickets that were left, picked up some alt arts of Shatterpoint and MCP cards, right? Just to,
I ended up giving away a lot of my tickets instead of getting an alt art card, which is fine with me because I'm not alt art doesn't. It's really neat, but it's not something I feel like I need to have a lot of the time.
Yeah. And The templates were one of the most expensive things there, as they should be.
I wanted those templates.
But you came home with new templates.
So I sure did come home with those templates. I came home real good with those templates.
You're like, these are safe and they're going to make it back to next game night, and very excited. Yeah, dude. So, but yeah, layers and layers of other things that happened at Adepticon, which we will be talking about in our bonus feeds, you know, on the After Dark and things like that, because a lot of hangs, a lot of good food, a lot of late nights for me, especially. I mean, turns out, Chris, some of these events, like you said, were five games a day, right? And that is just, you're getting to dinner at 10 o'clock and you're getting back to your hotel at 11:30. And you're going right to bed because you're going to wake up at probably 7 in the morning, right? And get going for the next day.
You got to sleep in, pal. I was waking up at 6 every morning. But yeah, I think my team event day was, we were rolling dice from about 8:30 till 9:30, 10 p.m. Long day, fun day. Boy, we all stank at the end too, I'll tell you.
Oh, man. Well, we'll talk more about your team games in the future. I mean, along the lines of just even in passing, I'd love to hear more about what the teams just played against, you know, what was represented. Obviously, I think a lot of criminals were represented because I think they're just awesome in the format. And I covered that on this very show when Kyle and I played in the team format at Warfare Weekend, and we had so much fun with criminals. But I also saw stuff that really, you know, good meta teams. I mean, we had Brotherhood represented. We had X-Force represented. We had Guardians. We had, of course, the objective teams like the Spider Foes and Web Warriors. Even some Inhumans and Avengers representation, A-Force, lots of things were showing up in the team event, and I was pretty intrigued to see all that.
It was cool. And like I said, everyone was in a more, it felt like a more relaxed tournament. Folks were there to have fun with their buds, you know, but we're all that special breed. We're tabletop war gamers, right? So fun to us is playing a competitive game and you know, doing our best and trying to play as well as we can. So it was a really great day. And like I said, it wasn't just my last game of the day that ended up being my most enjoyable game of the day. And I came out with some new friends out of that game. But every pair of opponents we played all weekend were awesome. Me and Matt got super lucky in that we were playing against really fun folks that were just, they were there to have a good time and not be too sweaty about things, but still play seriously. So it was really cool.
Amazing. Well, we hope you guys have enjoyed this discussion of like just jumping into Adepticon and our initial thoughts right when we arrive back. I'm sure more discussions are going to keep coming up around Adepticon because we learned some things about the meta. We've got our first timeline locked and done in official format wise, right? In a major tournament. So that's super interesting to talk about. I mean, and then we haven't even touched on the Challenger event and stuff yet, Chris. So there's so much to like parse through. But it seems like MCP is in a very good spot, and I like the representation of things we saw through all these events because there was actually quite a nice spread.
Not much Guardians.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Well, of course, we got to close out the show and tell you guys all the places you can find us. And if you want to follow us on all the social media places to hear more about Marvel Crisis Protocol. But before we get to that, of course, our show is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Furious Finest patron by going to patreon.com/furiousfinest. Of course, when you join on the Patreon, you get instant access into the Discord to auto add you in, and you can participate in stuff like the Painting Gallery with No Name and our TTS leagues and so much more behind the scenes on our Discord. You can catch us on social media on several spaces. You can catch us on X at Furious Finest Cast, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch at Furious Finest. And if you need to email us, furiousfinest@gmail.com. It means a lot. You can also Discord message Chris with your Painting Gallery with No Name entries.
Please do. I want to see them. Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music, and help spread the word about the show. Rate, review, subscribe. Every little bit helps. Every rating helps. Every listen helps.
Yeah, it does.
It's awesome. You guys are always awesome about it. You know, the world we live in means we have to continue to ask. So if you haven't yet, please just reach down and give us 5 stars.
I know. And it is one of those things too, Chris, where it's unfortunate we have to ask because it's also like, we have a lot of listeners. You guys are all out there, but I know most of you don't necessarily listen to the show on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And those are the main places you can give 5-star reviews. And that's pretty much it. So if you are an Apple Podcast or Spotify listener, if you're just listening right now and you get them over and give us 5 stars, it would mean a lot because you're representing more than yourself. You're representing people that listen on other platforms that can't give us a review. Of course, you can find me and Chris several spaces online. If you want to engage with us about Marvel or other things, you can follow me, Jesse, everywhere at Jesse Aiken, JESSEAKIN, X, Instagram, Discord, Longshanks. And you can check out my Star Wars Shatterpoint show, Hello There, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast. We'll be doing a lot of this. We'll be doing a lot of Adepticon recapping. We played in all the events. We're covering all the news there as well. And we're going to have a lot to talk about. Chris, where can everyone find you?
You can hit me up on Discord. I am Strong Style. Chris Finest is my display name in most of the, in all of the MCP related Discords that I am in. And you can listen to me blather and make bad jokes about the NBA on my NBA podcast, Orange Futures.
Another Adepticon in the bag. Luckily, Chris and I got to go this time. We've always wanted to go.
Yeah,
I was a fan of this show's life. We've never gotten to go, right? So, I mean, the fact that we got to go is amazing. Honestly, still recovering from it because you're just going the whole time.
Yes.
And there's never enough time to see everybody, do everything. You know, case in point, I was so busy. Like, I saw 5 minutes of the vendor hall, right? That was
that's
5 minutes on the last day, which is my least heavy day, right? And that was right before it was closing. But, you know, it is what it is. I got my games in, right? I also said I got 16 tournament level competitive games in. So
pretty good.
On top of league games. So I am not complaining. I got more games of these games that I love in one weekend than I do in like typically a couple months, right? So, I mean, it's just an amazing thing that we even get to do it, right?
It's a very cool opportunity. Yeah.
Especially high level tournament games.
You don't get that all the time unless you're very lucky to have friends that are also very good at the game, you know, and that's
right.
You know, that's not a luxury all of us have. So it's very cool. Adepticon was very cool.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for more Adepticon discussions from us in the coming future, but we just want to get this out to you guys right away. We really appreciate you listening and being patient while we get this out, because we just got back. But until next time, thanks for listening. True believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.